Happy Saturday morning, everyone. This is 2 Minute Drill. I am Pierce, joined by Scott.
Yo, yo.
Week 2 already underway. An electric Thursday night game. We'll talk about that in a hot second. We'll also talk about a big dumb idiot in Denver. Kind of go over some fact and fiction for week 1 or from week 1 of the season. And then we'll look ahead towards Sunday, Monday, and next Thursday. But my friend, how are you? You enjoy that monsoon? The deluge?
Man, that was the crazy thing about that is when I woke up in the morning, it wasn't raining. I was checking outside. I'm like, all right, we might be good, at least on my drive there. When I tell you the minute I pulled out of my mom's garage, it started pouring. But nigga, when I got on the expressway, it was ungodly. I could barely see anything. And then, you know, anybody who knows when you go to Soldier Field, when you park in the Waldron lot, there's like the, you know, the walk up, you know, into Soldier Field. And it's packed with people.
And that seems like a prime place when like water's falling to get flooded.
Yeah. It's like people were packed in there, and I was trying to get through the crowd. Remember on the Bells episode of Game of Thrones where Danny is burning King's Landing to the ground, and Jamie's trying to get back in King's Landing for the gate closed with one arm? That was me. I'm like, move, niggas. I got media credential. I'm not waiting here with y'all. Move. So,
and that place is always usually packed on game day, especially like right before game time. But yeah, that looked nasty. They talked about new Bermuda turf. That shit's gone.
It would have been way worse if they didn't change the turf. But
100%.
But by the time I got through the security and everything, I was soaked. And then the worst part wasn't even that I was soaked. The worst part was they had that damn air conditioning blaring in the press box. You couldn't convince me I wasn't going to get pneumonia. Like, to the point, like, after the game, I drove home. Because we had the barber's chair watch party at Haymarket. Shout out to Haymarket, Pub and Brewery. But I was like, nigga, I got to go home first. Change some clothes, take a shower, drink some tea. So I don't wake up sick tomorrow, but you know, it was cool. You know, it was cool atmosphere to watch. I'm pretty sure, you know, it was not cool to be sitting in the stands.
Yeah,
even though the vibes was nice, Soldier Field was rocking. You know, regardless, you know, especially the wind that helped. It was alumni day. I was in the elevator with Otis Wilson. I ran into that police officer.
This is the one time that I will not call him out for being a cop, because he did one thing. He taught Jalon Johnson. I'm just calling him man Jaquan. He taught Jalon Johnson and Jaquan Biscuit that goddamn punch, and he taught him the significance and the importance of it. Because that punch happened Sunday. It set the tone.
The only bear I hate more than Peanut Tillman is Rex Grossman. But I pretended like I didn't see him and said, "What up, Spice Adams?" Mike Brown was there. I thought Bernard Berrien was Ja Morant, but he was there.
Bernard Berrien is Ja Morant?
He had Ja Morant braids, bro.
Like, who were they celebrating? Because like I saw Eric Kramer was there. Was it just like alumni in general, or was it a specific team?
No, it was just alumni in general. Like, you didn't have to be like a legend, because you know,
of course you didn't have to be a legend. Bernard Berrien
was there. Right. Bernard Berrien was there. So it was a whole
bunch. Was James Allen there?
Who?
James Allen.
I didn't see him. The only like legend I saw
was Craig Stokes.
Was the elevator. I was on the elevator with Otis Wilson, and he got in the elevator, and the white dude behind me was like, "Otis, we need you out there." He said, "No, we need to score some damn points." That's what he is. Like, every old black dude.
Otis Wilson, because he's running to a few folks. Like, he be out here in the city. Otis Wilson, the cool motherfucker. Yeah, and I'm still convinced. I'm sure Otis Wilson is a lot of moms' favorite biz, but you know, Otis Wilson is still out here in these streets, if you know what I mean. But that was a wonderful win. I'm thrilled. Sunday was interesting. Monday was interesting too, but Sunday was interesting because my girl finally got to see the other me.
Oh, like, how did that go?
I think it was positive. Like, she walked in and like I brought all of my screens out, because this is like my Christmas. I may not do it every week, but the first week of the year, you know, I got the Bears on one TV. You know, I had to get Sunday Ticket. You know, I got Red Zone on the other TV. The Eagles are playing. I got to keep up with the Eagles. The CBS game is on, and I just fucking put the Ravens on the fucking iPad. So I'm like, yeah, I got to just put a throwaway game on. I ain't gonna pay attention to Jacksonville and Washington. So that might have been like, oh damn, it's like this. Like, nigga, you live like this. But yeah, I think it was very positive. There was a moment, we'll talk about that in a couple minutes, where somebody did something just insanely idiotic, and it really got me to the point of just like anger, to the point where you're like, damn, you can get angry at this and it's not even your team. You'll see why. You will see why.
Football will make you upset.
Idiotic choices will make you upset.
Bad situational football drives me up a wall.
It really does. But let's start on Thursday night, not Monday night. And what was this? A great game. Shout out to DraftKings in that if your bet goes up, if a team goes up by 7, you cash out. You lost a lot of money. And me personally, I thank you for that. But it was every bit as electrifying as we thought it would be. Chiefs and Chargers. Chargers got out to an early lead. But Patrick Mahomes is on his fuck you tour. And yes, he let them back. There was some weird stuff that happened in that game. Derwin James hit a textbook spine buster. But in the end, Patrick Mahomes is staying on top, and this is still his division for now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I picked them to win this game in my I'm not going to hold you preview of week two. It's just like the main reason I'm just believing in the Chiefs because everybody ain't, you know. And I think, you know, we're at the part of Patrick Mahomes' career where they're trying to look for things to bring you down. Every great goes into this, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to find something.
Hell, we doing it for Aaron Rodgers right now. Justifiably so.
I was about to say justifiably so, though. I'm glad to side to Chris Sims, who called out him, you know, for complaining about those wide receivers. But there was a lot of them who were open on Sunday, and he didn't throw. And he was throwing out of bounds, you know, to save his QBR rating. And I'm glad he brought that, because he does that a lot. He does that a lot. He throws it out of bounds to save from those stats.
I was taking a nap at that time. I'm sorry, I was caking it and taking a nap at that time. So I gotta go back. I gotta go back and watch the Aaron Rodgers footage. Most of the footage I watched in that game was of Justin Jefferson. So forgive me. I gotta go back and see like how bad a lot of those passes were by Aaron, kind of what he was thinking about on offense, and then go listen to Chris Sims. But yeah. There, I kind of see where he's getting at, because there are some possessions where it's like, if you just hit him, just
you could have made a play.
You can make a play, but you're choosing to give up on a little bit too early and maybe try again on third down. And sometimes I thought in that San Francisco game it cost him, you know. But hey, this isn't about Green Bay, okay? This is about Patrick fucking Mahomes, and he truly is on his fuck you tour. You know, he hears the hatred that's coming out. Oh yeah, you lost Tyreek Hill. Now you got to go out here and do it with a Hall of Fame tight end, a dude who you already have great rapport in Hardman, a TikTok nigga, and a whole bunch of dudes that, you know, we've never even heard of. And he's just going to be like, I bet. You know, Patrick Mahomes is on that level. We got to give him that respect. We can't just sit here and say, oh, because your division is now a gauntlet, you're going to have some trouble. You're not going to win this division. You're not going to be the stellar team that you are. There was nothing within Kansas City that gave it inkling that they're going to fall off.
I think the big thing was no Tyreek Hill.
I was thinking if anything would be no Honey Badger. Then, like, defensively for the first two games, like, it demolished Arizona, really frustrated Kyler. And then last night, like, yo, Jay Herbo's Jay Herbo, but you also ruptured his spleen or his rib or whatever. So, you know, the defense is playing solid. I just, it didn't make any sense to me why folks are just jumping to crown the Chargers because they went out and got Khalil Mack, who has been amazing. He had 3 sacks in that first game.
He
had a sack last night. Like, he's still Khalil Mack, but it's like, you went out here to crown everybody else because Denver got Russ and Vegas got Devontae Adams, but Patrick Mahomes is still here. And until you learn the best Patrick Mahomes or frustrate Patrick Mahomes to the point where he ain't king of his division, guess what? He's still king of his division. He's going to be for a very long time. Andy Reid is going to run the rest of the coaches in his division until he decides to retire. Like, these are the rules.
And yeah, especially until the Chargers stop charging.
We are in Bill Belichick, New England Patriot, Tom Brady territory with Mahomes, Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the AFC West.
I was going to say that I feel bad for AFC West fans because at least our sentence as Bears fans dealing with Aaron Rodgers is about to end. Like, we got a year or two left, maybe.
Yours is just beginning, and he's, what, 27?
And he's 27, and I feel bad for you. Like, I really do.
It's sad, and it's insane. I guess looking the other way, like, there was a point in that fourth quarter where I'm just like, yo, what is Brandon Staley doing? Because there was a second down play, or maybe it was third down.
He was playing not to lose, man.
No, but there was that third down, I think before the fourth down pass, where all Herbert had to do was just run a couple of yards, get down, you pick up a first down, you keep the chains moving, you can stop the clock, whatever. And he was so hurt, he threw this shit out of bounds.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, I'm just like, yo, what is Staley doing? Like, if anything, like,
take him out the game.
Protect your quarterback. You're down 10 to come back and to make it a 3-point game and give yourself a shot ain't worth risking further damage to his health. And then he just goes out there and throws like a 48-yard dime.
Just casually.
Middle of the fucking field. Like, and he zipped it, too. It wasn't like he loafed it up to try to find somebody deep. He caught a defender lacking. He threw that bitch. With the ruptured rib or fractured rib, whatever it was, Justin Herbert is him. Like, he is him times a thousand.
Yeah, I think the thing we were talking about, like, the dominance of the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and what they potentially the run they could be going on. I just feel like if the Chargers can stop doing stupid stuff, they can interrupt that because Justin Herbert is elite. You know what I'm saying? He's just as good as Patrick Mahomes. Like, we're just seeing stuff in front of him. Actually, I actually think to an extent he played a better game than Patrick Mahomes did. Patrick Mahomes
did.
One of them. You know how sometimes Steph shooting like shit, and then like he hits like
he comes on in the third, fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was Patrick Mahomes had one of them Steph Curry type games yesterday. You know, he got the job done, but I give the credit more to the defense yesterday than I do the offense, but Justin Herbert's just as good. And if they can just stop doing stupid stuff, and I will say this, even though they lost, they'll be. I want to say they'll be fine. Obviously, we got to see what's going to happen to Herbert, but schedule wise, their schedule gets much easier. You know, now the Chiefs needed this because they're finna go into a gauntlet. But if you look at the rest of the division, you know, Derek Carr was still Derek Carr last week.
Right.
I don't really believe in the Broncos like that. This can be a 2-man division for the next decade if the Chargers can actually – I think once the Chargers get over that hump of we're not stupid anymore, then that's when the tide will change or at least be competitive.
Exactly. I'm going to give Carr some leeway. It's your first game. You have to be better. But you and Devontae Adams did look very impressive together. So I at least give you that. Learn from your fucking mistakes. Now to transition to the other team in the AFC West. And the reason why there's no chance in hell they're making the playoffs as presently constructed. And there's no chance in hell that they're even sniffing the Super Bowl as presently constructed in the near future. I'm not sure what Nathaniel Hackett learned from his time in Green Bay. Maybe, actually not. Maybe it wasn't clock management. Because I don't think Green Bay was ever that fucking bad. Even in some of the decisions that LaFleur had made, was never that, wait, you're doing what? Wait, you have 40 seconds on the clock. Maybe use one of your 3 timeouts so you can set up a play at the whatever fucking yard line, 40-something. And give your team another chance, at least a chance to make this fourth down. Wait, why is it 20 seconds? Oh, you're just now calling timeout? Okay, well, that's all right. You can still just pick up. Wait, you're going to kick a 64-yard field goal with somebody that's hit it once.
Yeah.
That has missed it a lot.
Yeah.
And then when he understandably misses it, You waste everyone's time. So you could call timeouts. What? Because this is the NBA and you can foul somebody, send them to the free throw line, get the ball back? No. Down ends, you call your timeout, next down happens. You call another timeout, guess what happens? Next down, clock runs out. Your fate's sealed no matter what. Why the fuck did you waste their time? I'm not mad about the fact that you chose to whittle the clock down to 20 seconds, as dumb as that was. A lot of coaches have made that dumbass decision.
Yeah.
I'm not mad that you decided, oh man, I can't pick up this first down with the $250 million quarterback that we traded three first round picks for. No. I'm going to choose a 64-yard field goal. I'm not mad at that. As fucking stupid as it is, I'm not mad at that. I'm mad because my girlfriend had to see me in complete fucking pain because my head was hurting so goddamn much trying to make sense of why you are calling timeout when the game is fucking over. Why did you waste our time, Nathaniel Hackett? For what? So your club can sit there and get embarrassed because they went to Seattle. Russ went back to Seattle, got booed, which a little bit, no. And y'all didn't play well enough for him. You wanted them to stay and get booed so your running backs can remember how they fumbled on the 1 yard line on back-to-back drives?
Yeah.
Why? Please tell us. Please give us a coherent explanation, because my head hurts trying to figure out why.
I think what I'm mad about is the Russell Wilson thing. I mean, first of all, and credit to Seattle. I want to give credit to Seattle. I want to give credit to Geno Smith.
Played a hell of a game, and I hope Jalen Adams will get back soon. I know he's out for the year with surgery. Yeah. It's a shame.
And shout out to Geno Smith. He was responsible for a lot of Instagram captions.
Oh, that wasn't it, bro. He pulled that shit from Tumblr. He been waiting to pull that out. He been sitting on that for like 5-6 years. Like, yo, man, when I get my opportunity, I'ma hit him with it.
There was a lot of niggas that used that. A lot of chicks who used that this week. Shout out to Geno. That being said, I don't expect them to play like this the rest of the year because, you know, it was a special night. You know, they wanted to prove, you know, to Russ. And I think I underestimated the vitriol that Seahawks fans.
I think everybody did. I feel like 12 took a lot of, like, you know, how Doug Baldwin felt and how Richard Sherman felt. You know, after the fact, like the thing that kind of disgusts me is you was loving this nigga until he left. Yeah. Now it's, oh man, Doug Baldwin was right. Richard Sherman was right. You know, Russ a snake, Russ fufu as hell. You know, you guys were fucking crying. I know fucking Seahawks fans who were just emotional as hell on Monday. Didn't know how the fuck to act.
And I get it to an extent because, you know, it's kind of like a little bit like the Rondo and Ray Allen situation when they were in Boston. Like, yes, they both wanted to leave, but you also got to understand that remember Boston was dangling Ray Allen for like 2 years. And then niggas wanted to get mad when he went to Miami. You know, it's the same situation here. Seattle been kind of dangling.
Remind me, who were they dangling him for? CP3?
I don't know. It wasn't for CP3. It was like to the Grizzlies, nigga. Like,
I thought Rondo was getting dangled for CP3.
I don't know if it was, but I know Ray Allen was like a topic of trade discussion almost every year for like 2-3. Like when they won in 08. So I'd say from by 2010, 2011, 2012, until he actually left in 2012.
Right.
He was getting dangled around. So, you know, to me, you know, I understand what fans were upset, but it's also at the same time, it's like this dude helped bring you a championship. And this is a franchise that was nothing before he got there. And they're a franchise that honestly is nothing without him. And I feel like, you know, yeah, just at least give him a round of applause pregame, boom, when the game starts. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's how I felt about it. But,
right.
You know, and then Pete Carroll's comments out the game. So I really pretty much underestimate how Seattle felt. And I really tell you, I really feel this. I really feel like Russell Wilson thought he was going to get a round of applause. I really do. That's why he wore that Bojangles suit he had on Sunday, on Monday, because he really felt like that. And I think that was also something that might have took him out the game. Now, I do think the Broncos get better. I don't have them making the playoffs, obviously. I think they'll get better. Wow. I think, you know, they fumbled the ball twice in the end zone. It was stuff that happened. Nathaniel Hackett will get better. But what really upset me was, like, you just paid this man $230-some million just 2 weeks ago at his age, and it's 4th and 5, and you have a 64-yard field goal. We already know how they kick it down. I don't care who it is. If it's not Justin Tucker, why are you taking that risk when you have a quarterback? Even if he doesn't convert, if I was a Broncos fan, I can live with my quarterback going for that, and okay, we just lost, instead of us missing the kick and then we having a conversation we having right now.
And then on top of that, you have to leave it to your players to answer to whether or not that was a good decision or a smart decision.
Right.
You know, Russ has to sit there and idiotically back you because he can't come out and say, yo, that was fucking stupid. Just put the ball in my hands and let me cook, let me work. You know, we did the whole let Russ cook thing for this whole, you know, whatever back half is time in Seattle, you know, that would have been perfect time to let Russ cook. And the coach, for whatever fucking reason, just goofed it.
I also think this is another conversation I had with one of my homies the other day. Was I think it's also part of Russ don't have that dog in him, because any other franchise quarterback would have told Nathaniel Hackett, nigga, I'm taking this ball. Mm-hmm. You think Tom Brady will allow that? You think Pat Mahomes will allow that? You think anti-vax boy in Green Bay will
allow that? Anti-vax boy did allow LaFleur to kick a field goal.
Okay, you
when
got
he was
me
down.
Right. You got
in
me right
the NFC Championship game. So
you got me right there.
I was like, yeah, you better not say that.
Even though that's a closer field goal than this, but you are correct.
Yeah, I feel you.
And shout out to Joe. Two. I want to get two shots. One, shout out to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. They did really, really good.
Yeah, it was a great game.
Monday Night Football finally feels like Monday Night Football again.
Joe Buck felt rejuvenized because he hasn't had to do a summer of mundane ass baseball games.
Yes. Also, shout out to the Manning cast. Still was very entertaining. And I want to give a shout out to my manager, Kev, and everybody over there, the Amazon Prime team. There was an amazing, presentation of Thursday Night Football. We all saw we had crappy internet last night from the few computers.
Y'all saw it with crappy internet, nigga. My shit was streaming perfectly fine.
Mine was crisp. It looked amazing. The quality was awesome. I had no issues. So shout out my manager, Kev. Shout out to everybody over there. That shout out to Taylor Rooks. She's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Taylor Rooks.
I know.
That's all I got to say. What's your biggest week one takeaways? Because a lot of things popped off in this past week.
Besides Patrick Mahomes, my week one takeaway is this is going to be one of the most fun NFL seasons ever, because we had a lot of craziness in week one. You know, Justin Jefferson going crazy. You know, the rain game at Soldier Field, a tie between Colts and Texans. A couple other games were close to tie. You know, Joe Burrow looking more like Mitchell Trubisky than Mitchell Trubisky looked like Mitchell Trubisky. So I think it's going to be a fun season. NFL is always fun, but I think this is going to be the most unpredictable season. And, and it's just something I feel like it's going to be, if you don't have red zone, this should be a year that you go out there and get you red zone, man. It was very entertaining. And also the overreactions. I love week one overreactions because everybody – we don't have that much to go off of. You know, everybody, you know, we saw good Kirk Cousins this week. Bad Kirk Cousins will make his appearance at Lincoln Financial Field on Monday. But, you know, everybody's getting hype about that. So it's just really just, I'm just glad football's back. That was my main takeaway from week one.
My main takeaway is expect the unexpected. I think that week one is always a good time for underdogs. You know, home dogs that you don't feel like have a chance to upset, or maybe road teams coming in. You have a favorite, division winner last year, and you expect it to go one way, and it goes the complete opposite. I think that Sunday, especially the early window, went completely left of how you know, myself and a lot of other people thought that it was going to go. You know, we obviously were all on the Bears. We saw this game playing out, maybe not, you know, piece by piece how it did, but this was, that was kind of how we thought it was going to play out.
I had a pretty good week. I went 11-4-1 in my predictions last week.
Oh, I was good before Monday. Hackett. I was good, but I guess I'm just saying, like, you know, general public didn't believe in the Bears. Everyone's all, you know, the Niners come back with a Super Bowl talented roster, and I still feel like they are good. But Trey Lance, go do this. The Bears aren't good. Justin Fields isn't accurate, and you know, Justin Fields has some inaccurate ass throws. Look, two plays before that first touchdown, but here the Bears come and make the second half adjustments that, you know, Shanahan didn't make, and they're sitting here winners. The Giants go on the road to Tennessee, and yeah, they Tennessee got problems, but no one sees Daboll in his first game putting the Giants in position to win. But not only that, why go for the field goal when there's time left on the clock? Let's go for two.
Well, what did Rich Eisen say? Day balls.
Saquon, if he's healthy, is going to have a fucking year because this is a contract year for him. I'll talk about the Giants later on in a bit, but you know, the Texans end up getting a tie because they fucking jagged in the end, but they looked really good for the first three quarters of that ball game. There were a lot of games. The Vikings, we didn't expect the Vikings to run through the Packers the way that they did. There's another, the Steelers. I think that might have been the most unexpected happening because no one expects Burrow to implode the way he did. Four interceptions, one fumble, and then the amount of chances they had to win that game and should have won that game. But here we are sitting talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers being 1-0, you know, because Minka Fitzpatrick did this and someone missed that and Burrow fucked up this. I think that the theme for week one was expect the unexpected. Now we transition on to week two. And, you know, I think a lot of people got to keep in mind that the trends of week one that we saw may not be. Just because one team looked hot and got a win in week one does not mean that they are going to look the same week two. And I'm interested in this seeing, like, yo, do the Vikings offensively keep up with what they did last week? Can they sustain that offensively? I'm looking at teams like Tampa Bay. Defensively, they kicked the shit out of the Cowboys. I know offensive line, Dak got hurt, and he's going to be out for some time, but they kicked their teeth in. You know, is this the defense that we're going to see if they're expected to contend? You know, I think the Packers, that the Sunday night game against the Bears, and, you know, obviously, as Bear fans, we are so normally apprehensive here going into this game. It's a 10-point spread, I believe. But if there's any opportunity for the Bears to go into Green Bay and just steal a game, you're coming off a win against the 49ers. You're playing Green Bay. Green Bay doesn't have some weapons from last year. They looked awful last week. This would be the time to steal it. But we saw the same shit out of the Packers last year.
Yep.
When they got destroyed by the Saints and they still ended with the number one seed and Aaron Rodgers winning back-to-back MVPs. So seeing how they bounce back on Sunday with a team that's very hungry coming into their crib.
Well, I do agree with that. That team offensively way better than this one.
I agree. That's all I'm saying is these are going to be things, trends to watch in week two.
And by the way, I'm not picking the Bears to win this game. If you've listened to me,
I don't think they'll win, but I do think they'll
come. I'm what Chris Sims said today. Chris Sims said that he felt the 10-point spread was too high. And he said he feels like this is going to be a team. He actually said the same thing you said last week. It's too well coached. You know, I think the thing that stood out to me was only three penalties. Last week,
they were very disciplined. It was very shocking to see the Bears be the most disciplined team on the field on Sunday.
The entire Matt Nagy era, and you know, the of course, the end of the Lovey era. This is this undisciplined football. So just from that, and you know, I do feel that you know, I know Bears fans were upset about the pass rush last year. Eberflus doesn't send heat like that. You can even look at his time in Indianapolis; they're like fifth, fourth or fifth, and you know, least blitz. So this is a bend don't break type defense, though.
But and I think not sending the blitz a lot is going to help them, because whenever they send blitzes against Aaron Rodgers,
it usually doesn't work.
It usually doesn't work because always an open man over the middle. So I'm very interested in seeing Eberflus's defense. Since we just threw it out there, obviously go take the Bears to cover 10 points. We're not gonna touch the game when we go through it later. But yeah, there it is. Let's do some fact or fiction. From what we saw over week one, we saw really the crumbling of the Dallas Cowboys right before our eyes. Dak Prescott got hurt. Jerry is saying 4 weeks. Doctors may be saying 8.
Bro, it's going to be 8, bro.
It should be 8.
At the bare minimum, it's going to be 6, G. And if he do play, he's not going to be good. So we need to go back. I picked the Cowboys, beat the Bears. I'm going back on that, nigga.
Exactly.
I'm looking for some good restaurants, some good barbecue in Dallas, and a Bears win.
It is. I gotta remember the name of the spot. But me and my brother found this nice little black owned, like a brunch spot in Dallas. That shit was bumping. A lot of the dicks, but.
My brother.
Bears fans are going to, you know, invade Dallas in full. So that pace is probably going to be jumping. And it's
the Atlanta gang going to be a Bears day party.
Oh, fuck yes.
Atlanta gang going to be a Bears day party. It's going to be jumping up in Mercedes Dome, a.k.a. Soldier Field South.
Yeah, I got to find some flights.
I'm getting some Magic City wings when I'm down there. I'll let you, boy. It's been almost a decade. I'm back.
But yeah, fact or fiction. There's no Dak. We know the line issue. CeeDee Lamb is really the only receiver. Are the Cowboys dead? Is their season over?
Fact. It was on life support before the season started, but it's definitely dead now. With no Dakota, you can pretty much pack it up. Cooper Rush holding it down for a month and a half? I think not. So it's about the Eagles getting their thing together, because I don't really see any competition for them in this division any longer.
I'm hesitant to say they're fully dead. To me, this on life support right now. I got to see them through the first 4 games of the season, because they host the Cowboys this week. Oh, sorry, they host the Bengals this week. Bengals just lost. I understand, like, you know, we expect them to still be a decent team, but there may be some hangover there. And who knows what happens on Sunday if Cooper Rush is able to fucking get the offense going. The Giant game in week 3, again, we'll talk about the Giants in a little bit. The Giants game is going to be interesting because, you know, the Giants may be 2-0 going into that game. And, you know, Cooper Rush versus Daniel Jones is you know, pick a poison, take a pick. Carson Wentz and the Commanders go to Dallas week 4. I'm already pegging week 5 against the Rams, week 6 Sunday night against the Eagles, whatever. But let's see where they're at after week 4 before I officially say that they're dead. To me, they're on life support now. I still think the defense is pretty solid.
The defense is good.
They got 19 points. So, you know, they could definitely get takeaways on Burrow, seeing what happened last week. The Giants offense, you know, Daboll being in there still, you're not afraid of them. You're definitely not afraid of Carson Wentz. Shout out to Jahan Dotson for having a great debut the other night. But yeah, I ain't gonna say they're completely dead yet. But ain't looking good. Ain't looking good in Jerry World. DEFCON 5. So stay in that game. Julio Jones is still him. Fact or fiction?
I won't say him, but there's still a little life left in those hands. But I won't call him him. He left his hand privileges. You got to get in the end zone to be him.
Okay. I give you that. I still think Julio is going to be a damn good contributor on this team.
Oh, I agree.
Especially if Godwin is still feeling some lingering issues. You know, it helps that, I guess, like, historically, Julio might be the second greatest receiver that he's ever played with, Tom Brady.
If we're on an all-time stats, yeah, of course.
Well, I'm just going, like, body of work, the player that he is.
It'd be Moss and then Julio.
For me, it'd be Moss, Julio, and then we can get into to Welker, Edelman. Oh, well, I guess Gronk will be third, actually.
Side note, as we're recording this, I have the NFL films mic'd up that I watch every week in the background, and this nigga Mike Vrabel has an NYPD hat on. He really does give off big cop energy.
Oh man, yeah. he supports his local FOP.
He
loves his local FOP. Julio's still a damn good player. Like you said, I don't think he's him anymore, but he's still a damn good player. Factor fiction: Justin Jefferson is the best receiver in football.
Facts. Facts, facts, facts. I've been saying it. Let me take that back. No, I'm tripping. I almost forgot about my man. No, he's not. It's still Devontae Adams.
Thank you.
Forgot about my man. No. He is still Mr. Devontae Adams, who had a great game in SoFi and played better than the entire Packers receiving corps. No, it is Devontae. I apologize, Devontae.
Yeah. A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson had an excellent game the other day. 9 catches, 184 yards, 2 scores. He was electric. He's not better than Devontae. I think that, you know, granted,
passed DeAndre Hopkins yet? That's a legit question.
I think he has, like given age. Okay. DeAndre's past 30. He's going to be on a Julio track pretty soon. I think Justin Jefferson is that. But, you know, like, I think folks got caught up into how great Jefferson's performance was. A.J. Brown got off, too. Only problem is nice he didn't have a touchdown. Already. And I guess folks are looking at Kirk Cousins as he's better than Jalen Hurts. And I'm like, okay, sure, you know.
Which he is, but, you know.
Oh, I mean, hey, why is that, sir? Do you really think Kirk Cousins throws a better spiral than Jalen Hurts?
I mean, I think he's a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts right now. Jalen Hurts still got a lot to prove to me, at least. You know, and I think Kirk Cousins, the thing that's irritating by him is one day he'll look as great as he looked on Sunday, and the next week he'll look like a pile of crap. He is the definition of mid. But I would still, if I had to choose between them right now this could be, you know, at the end of the year, Jalen could be better than him, but that's right now. Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback.
I mean, I'm taking Jalen because Jalen can do a lot more. I understand the belief that Kirk Cousins is more consistent of a passer, but that's still very limited. In my eyes, still very
limited. It's limited.
I still think if you put Justin Jefferson on the Eagles, which should be Howie. Thank Howie for acknowledging that he fucked up, by the way. Put Justin Jefferson on the Eagles, he'd still be doing the same shit with Jalen Hurts.
Well, yes. To an extent, I think so. But I like Jalen Hurts, but I got to see a lot. And it's funny that we're arguing consistency with
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins. But that's why I'm saying he still has a lot more to prove. Now, by the end of this year, I could be saying, yeah, it's Hurts, but for right now, I gotta give it to you like that.
I think the big thing is Kevin O'Connell. You know, he comes over from
first
the
game.
He comes over from the McVay tree. He has Kirk Cousins, which I don't want to say like of the Stafford mold because they are different, you know. But you have a veteran, you know the flaws. Can you do what Paul Heyman said best? Can you accentuate the positives and hide the negatives? And he accentuated the hell out of his positives with Justin Jefferson the other day. And he, you know, played a turnover free game. So you hit the negatives. You know, can you keep that going over a 17 game stretch and feed Dalvin Cook and get other guys worked in, you know, offensively? We will see. But as far as Justin Jefferson, he's great. He might end the season best receiver, depending on what happens.
Maybe numbers wise, but as long as right. Mr. Adams is still alive, I'm going with Mr. Devontae Adams.
Fact or fiction, Mitchell Trubisky will be the best quarterback on the field Sunday versus the Patriots.
I'm not ready to go there yet. I made a point to sit and watch that entire condensed game between him and the Bengals. There was a lot of niggas out there lying about his performance. It looked like almost damn near every Mitchell Trubisky start I've ever seen. A lot of crappy throws, a lot of overthrows, a lot of underthrows, two wild plays, you know, a couple missed interceptions. It's the Mitchell Trubisky experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think he played any better than usual. You know, he's just, you know, people are going to gas him because he's not a Bear anymore. And I'm going to continue to stand on that, you know, Nash, you know, that people like just talking about the Bears, if you're talking about the Bears thing. But I'm not ready to say that yet, you know, and I'm not a Mac Jones guy whatsoever. I think his ceiling is Alex Smith, which is not a bad ceiling. Alex Smith was a pretty good quarterback.
Right.
That's his ceiling.
He's probably in the A tier of game managers.
Exactly. And I think the most irritating thing about Mitch is the talent is there. Like, the arm talent is there. He's just an idiot. So, you know, I don't know how I will go. I'm going to say fiction just because I'm not ready to go that far yet.
Well, here's the thing. Mac Jones is sick. Or he has an illness. He sat out practice the other day, so he might not play. And I don't know who the Patriots backup is.
Well, if he doesn't play, then yeah.
He came back to practice, I'm saying. So he returned to practice today. If he does play, then the answer is yes. If it's Brian Hoyer, it's definitely Trubisky. If it's Bailey Zappi, I don't know. That's a toss-up.
That sounds like a name that would have two touchdowns.
Do you want to guess the college?
I have not the slightest idea.
Western Kentucky.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yep. The fact or fiction, the New York Giants will be undefeated going into their Week 4 matchup hosting the Chicago Bears.
You know, this is interesting because if you look at their schedule, there's a legit shot at this. Now, I don't know if you have it up in front of you.
Yes.
Name those next two games for me.
I'm pulling it up now. Obviously, the Giants beat the Titans. They host the Panthers Week 2.
Okay.
And then Week 3, Monday Night Football, hosting the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow. Oh, that's going to be that's a Manning cast night.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no because I think they're going to lose this week. And I can even see is that game against the Cowboys in Jerry World?
No, it's a home game.
Well, even if it's a home game, I can see. We all just say how good that defense is, and you know Cooper Rush can outplay Daniel Jones for a game. So I'm gonna say that no, they will not be undefeated heading into the Week 4 matchup against the Bears.
I think they will be. I don't like Carolina. I think Carolina's doo doo. I think you know.
The Giants are doo-doo also.
I think there's more promise with the Giants than there is with Carolina.
Let's be very clear.
The Giants a little bit Daniel like Jones Giants was, higher. But it's not just Daniel Jones. Aziz, fucking African players. Aziz Ojulari.
That sounded very Trump-esque. These African players. You dirty African players.
You Nigerian niggas. Aziz Ojulari and Kayvon Thibodeau. Those are two young, nice dudes going off the edge. I love them a lot. Obviously, Saquon had a hell of a game. If Saquon is back and healthy, I think the Giants are the only team. If the Cowboys are to die, if they're dead, I think the Giants are the only team that can challenge the Eagles, that can even remotely challenge the Eagles.
Wow, you're going that far?
Okay. It's because you have a last place schedule.
Define challenge.
You got to challenge them for the division. You have a last place schedule. The Giants are playing teams like the Jags, the Seahawks, the Texans, the Lions.
I get that, but yeah.
There's a lot of winnable games on the schedule for the Giants.
I
understand it, but if any team is going to be right there, you know, giving the Eagles a scare, letting them know, like, yo, don't rest on your laurels.
I believe in the Commanders more than I believe in the Giants, man. I'm sorry.
I got to see Chase Young back. And I got to see him, you know, what he looks like.
You didn't believe in four touchdown. Carson Wentz on Sunday.
Do I believe in Carson Wentz is your question. And the answer is always going to be no.
No.
Do I believe?
I believe more in Carson Wentz than I believe in Daniel Jones. I tell you that much.
Right. I don't know about the Commanders, man. I really don't know. Somebody asked the question, like, who? I forgot if it was on ESPN or what. It was like, who was the best quarterback in that division? And somebody
in the NFC East.
I can't remember. I can't remember if it was your boy Fox or if it was Dan Orlovsky, who was, you know, saying, yo, Carson Wentz has a Super Bowl ring. Granted, he didn't play in the damn game.
That's definitely Orlovsky.
It sounded like Orlovsky.
Oh, it's 100%. Foxworth would never say nothing like that. That's 100% Dan Orlovsky.
It sounded like Orlovsky, but yeah, basically he's just pointing out like, yo, he's got the credential. You know, he's got playoff wins. I guess I get it to an extent. But I feel like we've seen enough bad from Carson or enough, you know, last year was really like you had it for the taking. You had a playoff spot for the taking. You didn't want it.
And he put up one of the nastiest QB ratings you'll ever see.
You know, we saw what happened, you know, those couple of years with the Eagles.
I agree. Like, everything you're saying.
You got handed a division title that you didn't want. And then the year after, you know, you were shit. You were even more shit, and you just fumbled everything away. I'm not ready with Carson yet.
I agree with everything you're saying. That being said, that's how low I am on Daniel Jones. That I will put Carson Wentz over that motherfucker. And yes, I believe Saquon had a great game. He got to show me he can do that every week now.
Yeah.
I got to see it.
No, I feel it. Let's predict the week two slate. Saturday, the early window is like this. CBS, we got a good one.
It's Sunday. I was like, wait, we got a game on Saturday?
I would love if we had football on Saturday. I mean,
you know, that only happens during holiday season.
Exactly. It's still a holiday for me. God, I'm happy football's back.
It's really
bad. I'll be at an orchard at this point. So, like, I'll be having to sneak away on Red Zone whenever I can. Just like,
you'd be at an orchard. You must have a date.
Yeah.
A date on a Sunday? Whew, you a good boyfriend.
But see, here's the thing. I told her specifically, like, yeah, we gotta be home by 8.
Yeah, still, man.
You might not want to be here at 8:20, but we got to be home by 8.
That's how I know I'm not ready for a relationship, because that's non-negotiable. See, watching football, you got 6 days. This is mine.
Hey, I'm willing to compromise on certain things. The fact that the Bears are in a Sunday night game, hey, I can watch Sunday Ticket on my phone.
Red Zone's on my car phone. With Pat Vito's, he plays some rap music I've never heard before in my life. Heading to Green Bay,
that should be a delight. Sunday, let's do the early window. The Patriots are going to Pittsburgh, Heinz Field. It's one of Belichick's favorite places. The line's moved up since it first opened. It's at 2.5 in favor of the Patriots. Mike Tomlin covered last week, and he won outright, actually. It was a 6-point spread. Now, he's getting 2.5 at home. Home underdogs for Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. I don't understand it. I think they went outright. I get everybody's, you know, issue with Pittsburgh and Mitchell Trubisky and, you know, T.J. Watt may be hurt or T.J. Watt's out. Najee Harris may not be 100%. Patriots looked fucking awful on Sunday. And this may be the one year we're like, yeah, these Patriots just might be bad.
Time for Bill Belichick to be a family man.
Well, maybe not even that. They might just be bad.
Is he on family man watch?
I think he's been on family man watch for a while, but I think, yeah, now it's amplified because the team's bad. But I got to believe that Mike Tomlin, as a home underdog, got to win. Like, it's a prime spot to take Mike Tomlin.
This game could go either way. I'm taking the Patriots because I'm going to keep – I just don't see a world where the Steelers start 2-0. And I just don't believe in Mitchell Trubisky. They don't have T.J. Watt. I think that's going to be a problem there. I mean, they are at home, so that gives them an advantage. But I just think, you know, Patriots, while they will be mediocre, I think they'll be good enough to beat the Steelers.
Indianapolis, the 0-0-1 Colts, tied for the division lead. That's so fucking sucky. They go to Jacksonville, which has always been a house of horrors for them. They're getting 3.5 points. Jacksonville, all they have to do is lose by a field goal at home to a team that they beat all the time at home. Come on, fam. I took it at 4.5, and like it's moving up. So like, please, if this is probably the one trend that I'm like, yeah, you follow, because the Colts, for some reason, the Colts just suck in Jacksonville. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. It's definitely a trend. I think that trend comes to an end this week. I think they're gonna, nobody likes the end of the tie. Don't even mess with ties. Like, you know, how long are overtime? They use like 5 minutes.
10 minutes now.
They were
full 15. Now it's 10.
Okay, well, make the next overtime 5 minutes then. Like, I'm just not a fan of ties. But
I'd say just do what college does. Just stick them on at 25.
Yeah, or do something like that. Something. There needs to be a winner of these games. But yeah. I digress. I think the Colts will win this game. I think that Matt Ryan will have a solid game. And, you know, the Jaguars looked really bad last week. I mean,
hey, they almost came back to beat Washington.
Trevor Lawrence was really bad last week. I'm going with the Colts.
They almost beat Washington, so I think there's an upward trajectory there when you're looking at Jaguars. They're not good, but there's an upward trajectory, and I don't think the Colts are Teflon. Baltimore Ravens are hosting the Miami Dolphins. -3.5 is the spread. Baltimore favored by 3.5. I like Baltimore. I think Baltimore is one of the 7 or 8 best teams in football. Miami looked very good last week against New England, but I got to look at this and I got to see Lamar, and Lamar's on his fuck you tour. I thought this was in Miami, so my bad. It's actually in Baltimore.
It's a home opener.
Yeah, it's a home opener for Baltimore. I told my man the other day, I thought he was going home to play Miami and he was just going to get off, because you got to think about it. Lamar's in a contract year. He's from the Miami area. I think he's a little bit north. And yo, if this shit don't work out with Tua, Miami could be one of those teams I talked about last week that could be in on Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson throwing balls to Tyreek Hill. Hey man, you're yawning, and I understand why you're yawning. It's okay.
No, I'm yawning because I'm tired. I ain't got nothing to do with Lamar Jackson.
But you saw that D bomb that he had the other day. Imagine that D bomb, nice Tyreek. Imagine that pass to Tyreek Hill.
Very nice. I feel like I had to defend my Lamar Jackson thing. Like, J.R. Bain really tried to on some sessions this week, he really tried to go at me for my Lamar takes, and he told me that him and Josh Allen were the same quarterback, and I almost pressed exit.
I don't know about that, man.
And I was like, nigga, huh?
I don't know about all that, but
I do think Lamar is on the FU too. I did like how he played against the Jets. He'll be home. You know how I feel. I think the Dolphins will be better than they were before, obviously. But niggas don't believe into it, bro. Like, I'm going with the Ravens. They played a great overall game last week, and I think that'll continue at the crib this week. I really think it's going to be a nice competition between them and the Bengals for that division.
Yep. I wish I had the skip button today. We'll be back next week. The Washington Commanders are in Detroit. This line's flipped. Yep. The Lions are now
favorite. Lions are the favorite.
By 1.5.
They've been underdogs for like 24 straight games.
Hey, I think this is the first time they've been favored.
Yeah.
I don't remember when. Shit. I'm going to go with Detroit. It was garbage time, yes, but I love the way that they battled back against the Eagles, who, the defense got to fucking improve, and they got to improve now. But DeAndre Swift, he was gnashing the Eagles on defense on the rushing game. I think he has a big game here. I think the Lions carry that into a dub. I'm going to take the Lions.
I'm going to agree with you, man. I'm going with the Lions. I'm going with Dan Campbell. Like you said, even though it was garbage time, I like the fight. It didn't roll over. Mm-hmm. And we all know Carson Wentz ain't throwing four touchdowns again.
Wow. So, number one versus number two.
That's crazy. It is different locations.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm going with the Lions, man. They'll get a dub.
Carolina in New York to play the Giants. Giants favorites by 1.5. I think the Giants win it. You know, we talked about this just a little bit ago, so I ain't really too much to
labor here. I'm gonna pick the Panthers, man. I think they're better than they. I actually think they're a bad team, but I keep telling you, I'm very low on the Giants, man. Y'all not fooling me for one game over the mediocre ass Titans.
Yeah. Tampa Bay is in New Orleans. They are favored by 2.5. Listen,
it's gonna be a good game, man.
Tom Brady's never beaten the Saints in the regular season.
I was just about to say that.
As the Buccaneers quarterback.
Yeah.
This might be the time he does it.
I'm gonna go
with the Bucs.
I'm gonna go with the Bucs too, man. I think you know, this nigga's not gonna keep losing the motherfuckers in the regular season, bro. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Saints, even though they won last week, they should be fucking ashamed of themselves for that performance they put on last week.
I feel like I was seeing something in passing about Kamara. Run it, Kamara! Run it, Kamara!
Kamara's list is questionable for this week. He did not practice today.
Yeah, if he's out, you know, that's a significant hit to the run game. I'm gonna go with Tampa to just be able to get that field goal in the cover. Again, it's a game that can go either way, but I gotta feel like Tom Brady is gonna be able to get one regular season wise against the Saints. He knows he could beat them, fucking beat them in the playoffs. So, same defenses, same guys technically. Like, you've seen them. This is your sixth time playing them. Go ahead and pick them apart. The Jets and the Browns in Cleveland. Cleveland 6.5-point favorites. I think this is too high for Jacoby Brissett. I know it's Joe Flacco. I understand it. It's Joe Flacco's not a good quarterback. He's not Jacoby fun. Brissett. He had 9 points the other day, but it's also Jacoby Brissett. Now Cleveland can just run the football on Sunday and ram it down the Jets' throats because the Jets aren't good. And Cleveland is lucky to have Chubb and Kareem Hunt that they can just plug in whenever they need to and be fine. And then just, you know, throw the ball up at Amari Cooper and hope he comes down with it. But I got to feel like the Jets got a little bit more fight in them. And there's something about teams that got blown out week one coming back with a little bit more metal week two. So I'm going to go Jets to cover 6.5. I do think the Browns win this game. It'd be asinine if they lost to the Jets, but I do think the line's too high.
Yeah, I definitely think the line is way too high. I think this would definitely be a closer game. I'm going with the Browns. They're at the crib. They got that ugly-ass elf in the middle of the field.
Wow.
Brissett is better than Flacco, not by that much. And like you said, this is going to run a football. They'll be at the crib. They'll win this one.
Yeah. Shout-out to the Chiefs for taking the arrowhead off of the middle of the field, too. But
I mean, that
y'all still doing the Tomahawk chants with end racism in the end zone, so. You guys ready for some? I know some people who are ready for Braves playoff baseball. Falcons fans, let's get to the late window. Falcons are in LA to take on the Rams. 9.5 points. They're getting fucked on Sunday.
It's going to be an annihilation of epic proportions. The Rams have been sitting on that loss for about 10 days. By the time the game comes, they're going to be upset. Niggas is going to be dancing to that new YG Toxic by the mid-second quarter. I'm telling you right now. It's going to be nasty.
I might do the AB dance. Yeah, I finally heard that shit. It's kind of catchy.
I hate that dance.
That shit. It's fun.
Well, y'all are supporting CTE by streaming that song. I hope y'all know
that. I hate myself for it, but yeah, it is kind of catchy. You might want to wait on that Rams game too. It started at 13. It's coming down for some reason. Maybe people believe in the Falcons after they showed some fight on Sunday. No.
Well, Rich Eisen said that he believes it's more believable that Marcus Mariota beats the Rams than that Justin Fields beats the Packers.
All right.
And I was like, okay,
all
boss.
All right, man. Sure. The Seahawks go to Santa Clara. They face the San Francisco 49ers. 9.5.
This is a very important game.
This is a very important game.
You know why this is a very important game? If this nigga puts up another stank fest like he did last week,
he's going to get booed to holy hell.
Them porn star Jimmy whispers are going to get much louder.
He is going
from not just the fans, but from the locker room.
To high holy hell if they are down at halftime. Or if they're struggling offensively at halftime. So big game for the 49ers. I do think the Seahawks cover some. Maybe the 49ers do struggle. Maybe Seahawks find some backdoor way to cover. You say the point about Geno. I think Geno's wide receivers are a little bit too good to maybe count them out. You got Tyler Lockett still, too.
Got Tyler Lockett.
Did you see the clip of Tyler Lockett tipping the Seahawks off because Russell Wilson was using the same audibles?
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, God damn it. Come on, man.
I'm going to pick the Niners, but I can see Seattle winning this game. You know, a lot of crazy stuff happens in Niner-Seahawks games to begin with. Mm-hmm. I would love for Geno to play well. Man, I just, like, man, I have no problem with Trey Lance personally. But the coverage of Trey Lance has me rooting for his downfall.
Cincinnati in Dallas. It turned. I was trying to take it right when Dak got hurt, and then the lines closed. It was at -2 Dallas, so you can get the Bengals at plus money. Bengals are now favored by 7.5. So nobody believes in Cooper Kupp. Nobody believes in the run game for Dallas. I feel like if you're either betting Dallas on the spread or you're staying away completely. If you're betting this game, I don't see any value in betting the Bengals getting at least 8 points the way they played last week. So
I think this is gonna be another blowout, another get right game, for the Bengals. He's not throwing 5 picks. Niggas got Cooper Rush. I'm going Cincinnati.
They do still have Diggs, though.
I mean, that's cool.
I say, like, he ain't throwing to the Cowboy offense. Cowboy,
I think Diggs is shiesty, though. I think he is shiesty.
He probably gonna get fucking destroyed by Jamar Chase, but he has the tendency to get his. So, Houston and Denver is expected to get right game for them. 9.5 points. I do think they cover that 9.5 points at home.
So do I.
The Cardinals.
Mr. Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Any woman who tells me that Russell Wilson isn't corny, I'm going to play that Mr. Unlimited video for them.
I'm going
to
play that.
This has nothing to do with future, nigga. He is a corny individual.
I'm going
to
play the We Care a Lot video. Arizona's in Las Vegas playing the Raiders. 5.5 point spread in favor of Vegas.
The Cardinals might be really bad.
They might be.
They might actually be bad. I'm going with the Raiders.
This is another instance where 5.5 is a lot. I'm completely staying away from this game betting wise. I think the Raiders win it, but staying far the fuck away from that game. We already kind of talked about Sunday night. We're both kind of taking the Bears to cover that 10, but we think the Packers went outright.
I'll give my score because the PB Pile is already out. I got Packers 31, Bears 21.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
I want to pick the Bears. I really do. But I
think it's more fair to predict the Bears points, and I'm not sure what the point total is for the Bears currently, because the team totals don't really come out until Sunday. But I expect the Bears to score at least 20. They would have gotten 20-21 on Sunday, but the two missed extra points. So I think they get 20.
Yeah, I do think we'll see more of that. God.
I'm seeing 14.5. Yeah, they definitely clear that.
Yeah, they'll clear that. And I think we're going to see more of the offense because – you know, it was very limited in that rain. I think we'll see the playbook open up a little bit more. I'm just here. Look, man, as long as Aaron Rodgers is on the other team, I just can't pick the Bears as much as I want to.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Monday night games. We have two of them this week. The first one is on ESPN. It's Bills Mafia hosting the Tennessee Titans. Oh, my God. 9.5 points.
That sounds fair.
I think the Bills, I mean, I guess it does because this is a superpower Bills team. But
and
the Bills,
at home.
Bills did lose to the Titans last year. Really good primetime game.
Was that in Buffalo?
It was in Tennessee.
Yeah,
so and Tennessee came back and they won.
This is a Buffalo home opener. Baby's gonna be in 3D through tables in the pregame. I'm going with the Bills, man.
Yeah, I guess I'll take Buffalo. That's still high as fuck, though. Week two overreactions. And then Sunday, ABC Monday night, about an hour and a half after that kickoff to the Buffalo game down in Philly. The Eagles hosting the Vikings. Eagles favorited by 2.5 points. I think this is going to be explosive. I'm seeing 50.5 point spread. I think we should see a lot of points put up. The way the Vikings played last week and the Eagles currently number one offense, I think we see a lot of points.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very entertaining game. This will be a game that you're going to turn to because the Bills-Titans game will be out of hand. I'm going to go with the Eagles. I could see the Vikings winning, but I'm going to go with the Eagles just because it goes back to the original issue with the Vikings. Mm-hmm. What Kirk Cousins is going to show up. So I'm going to go Eagles.
Yep. And for me, it's not just what Kirk Cousins shows up. It's which Jonathan Gannon shows up. Jonathan Gannon is the D coordinator for the Eagles, and he has been very much maligned in this city for his conservativeness. He's not a blitzer. He doesn't blitz a lot. They went out, they got Hassan Reddick, which, like, all he does great is blitz. And he's going to need to do that a lot against Kirk Cousins. But you gave up those garbage time points to the Lions. They were up 31-14.
And yeah, it was
a 38-35 game. You know, they can't lax against this team, especially the way the Vikings performed on Sunday against Green Bay. I got the Eagles because I think they got to win by at least a field goal. But, you know, for me, it's, you know, which defense is going to show up for me for the Eagles. I may say that's more of a concern for me than Jalen Hurts right now.
I agree.
So that's how I feel. I think Jalen does manage the game very well. We should see fucking Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith had no targets. So once we get Devontae Smith and AJ Brown together,
I was like, what the hell?
Once we see him and AJ Brown together, watch out. That's gonna be a nice little 1-2. But I'm gonna go Eagles. So let's look at Thursday night, week 3, real quick before we get up on out of here. Where is it? I literally just saw that goddamn Thursday night.
Browns
I saw
the Steelers.
That's right. Browns hosting the Steelers. 2.5 points in favor of the Browns currently. Obviously, it's going to change depending on what happens. But your early thoughts on Thursday night between the Steelers and the Browns? We're getting Mitchell Trubisky versus Jacoby Brissett prime time on your streaming device.
Yay. I'll go Steelers, man, just because, you know, I can't see the Browns being 2-1. And I already picked the Steelers to lose this week, so I think they can bounce back and win that one. So I'm going to go with Steelers.
Hey, Steelers could be 3-0. Browns could be 3-0.
That would be crazy.
One of these suck ass teams.
But I wish nothing but bad on the Cleveland Browns. So I'm going Steelers.
Yeah, I'm going Steelers too. Hey, we're getting out of here. I'm at Cameron Santo. Scott's at Barbchair Scott on Twitter. Twitter.com/barbershairnet or at barbershairnet on Instagram as well. TheBCNet.com. Check out all of our podcasts. Check out all of our written stuff, excuse me,
yes, tongue tied.
Power rankings are up for the week. Go check those out before Sunday. Anything you got, sir?
I'm not going to hold you. Each and every week on Barber's Chat Network and HB Media TV, go watch it. 79th House as usual. We'll be live from Lambeau Field this week. Look out for that. That's pretty much it, man.
That's good. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, the new feed. Rate and review us on Spotify. Give us 5 stars. Leave a comment. Help us out. We really do appreciate it. Merch update?
The merch will be coming by the end of the year. I'm actually getting price quotes today. Well, actually, not today, but first, early Monday. So, end of the year, I will have something, y'all.
Get your coffers out,
get my
blokes.
Get your money out for stocking stuffers. I want to give a shout out to the homie Tiff, the new general manager of the Barber's Chair Network.
I'm a new member of the Rockefeller team.
We got a nice little front office over here, man. So we're building some good stuff for y'all, man. So look out for that. The store's coming soon.
Yeah, man. Enjoy week 2 of NFL for Scott and Pierce. See you guys later.